My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Shake Them Ropes. I am Jeff Hawkins. He is Rob McCarron, ditching the former formula as we find out something that works for us. If you want classic content, quote-unquote, on Fight Game Media on Sunday, I did Halloween Havoc 1993 with John LaRocca and Garrett Gonzalez, a show that... lots of good wrestling and terrible finishes, featuring Vader versus Cactus Jack and Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal. That was fun. And then Sunday, dropping on Fight Game Media, Paul Fontaine and I recorded a look back at the AEW Dynamite with Shaquille O'Neal and Jade Cargill versus Cody Rhodes and Red Velvet. Also on that show, Tully Blanchard and FTR versus the Jurassic Express. And also
and
that
still battling. And they're still battling to this day.
And also that Jericho MJF press conference featuring Eric Bischoff. That thing was loaded. And you watch this other Dynamite, it's like, yeah, those are matches. But they're Rob.
Hey, how's it going?
Rob was let back into the country, so we're very happy about that.
I was able to get in, and oh my gosh, I will tell you. So I went to Mexico, and not only was it the most easy experience going through customs when I got to Mexico, like the best, easiest experience we ever had. Like we got through the airport in 15 minutes once we finally got off the plane. So fast. Coming back into Chicago, equally as easy. A little bit longer to get through. Because most of the global entry lines were closed, and I think there were just about 2 regular customs lines. So we got kind of lucky even coming back on a Friday. But the airport experience for us was great. I don't think that's how it's going for most people, and especially in your neck of the woods, Jeff, probably not going that easy. But going through Chicago O'Hare, chalk one up for the good guys.
Last time I went through customs, they thought I was smuggling something, so I had to stay there for a while.
I mean, I'm glad you said it, because I think you're smuggling something right now. I just can't put my finger on
it. No, those days are done. Like, no, I'm not, guys. I just had those cigars. I didn't know they were.
I'm good. You talked about classic matches from all the way back to 1993. The era of, I don't know if you can see the shirt.
Weezer.
The Blue Album came out around then.
Okay.
So the Blue Album now is classic rock, as is Nirvana, as is most of of Metallica, I would say, at this point, is classic rock.
I've been here. I've been here being a geezer, waiting for you to arrive, Rob. And now you're old like me.
And now I listen to the classic rock station and get my Metallica mix and my Aerosmith mix.
That was the first time, like when I'm out here and you hear the oldie station play the 80s song and you go, wait a second. And now it's like mid 90s stuff and you're like, good Lord.
Well, does oldies radio still play like 60s?
No.
Or is that a whole new era of you have to go to like old timey? I don't even
have to go to satellite radio, and even on satellite radio, they've changed the 5, 6, 7, 8. It's now just 6, 7, 8, and fives are gone. Sixes are soon to be gone. I think sixes.
I was
going to
say,
too.
I didn't think the '60s were even there. Are the '60s on six still around?
I have let my subscription admittedly lapse on Sirius XM, so I don't know.
Yeah, sixties now is located on channel 73.
Good Lord.
Yeah, because channel 6 Sirius, as we enter the segment I like to call "Looking Things Up." Pop Rocks. Pop Rocks moved to channel 6. So Pop Rocks, good channel. I think it used to be 11 or 12-ish. But yeah, they're moving things around because I guess having the 50s and the 60s in that prime real estate was no longer doing them any service. So that is moved. But Jeff, do you have a dog?
I do not have a dog.
Have you ever had a dog?
Yes.
Yeah. I've had dogs. I have a dog right now. You know what has never happened to my dog until this morning?
Oh, man. No. What? Tell me.
My dog got skunked today. Dead on. You laugh, but literally the reason why we're recording this 1 hour later than usual, that, you know, the time slot we've done for the last 10 years straight without breaks, I have been messing around with cleaning this house and cleaning that dog. She has had four baths today.
Oh, it's going to last a while, dude, to get it out of the house and off the dog.
I feel like I've gotten it to the point where I don't think it's going to last 3-4 weeks like sometimes it can. I think I've gotten a really good headway on it to where we might be living with it for a week or so, and finding those spots as they come along. Because the smells are already super faint. You know, I got the laundry going. I've had the laundry going all day. You know, my poor little pup is sequestered right now. You might hear her at some point. Because
is this a tomato juice situation or just normal shampoo?
Well, no, tomato juice doesn't do anything. So
I thought it did.
It is. It's an old Rugrats tale.
Gotcha.
Yeah, your early 90s Nickelodeon has failed you. Because
I never watched
you were too busy watching Cactus Jack versus Big Bang Vader.
True.
All it can possibly do is mask the smell, but the smell is going to still be there when the tomato juice smell runs out. So you're not doing anything other than kicking the can down the road. So I've been doing like some different mixes with hydrogen peroxide. At one point, I'm pretty sure I made a bomb. So certain things don't mix vinegar with baking soda and dish soap. Don't do that.
No,
I'm like, vinegar cleans things. So does dish soap. So does baking soda. Let's all throw them in something and see what happens. Well, you know what happened? Carbon dioxide monitors go off. So
yes,
don't do that. We're learning. We're all learning here.
Vinegar and baking soda is like a drain cleaner if you ever want to do that naturally.
You can do vinegar and baking soda. Like I've been running that in the laundry a little bit too, because it's going to block some of those smells. But speaking of smells, another smell going on right now, Jeff.
What?
We got to snuff this out, sniff this out, whatever you prefer to say in your colloquialism. What's going on with CM Punk and Jey Uso? Because over the last couple of weeks, everyone's all of a sudden been like, you know what? This Saturday, I think CM Punk's going heel. When obviously the whole road has been building up for, well, Jay's going to do something, right? Because Jay is starting to get a little paranoid about Roman and Jimmy. Jay's getting a little upset. Like he's kind of been at the same level after his meteoric rise. It's about time to really step up. And if he doesn't step up, what could happen? He's like, I'm the leader now. I'm main event Jey Uso which was one of the reasons why he left the Bloodline in the first place, right? So it, like, that doesn't go away just because now you're teaming, and he considers himself on the same level as Roman. So the whole road for the last several months has been like, okay, Jey Uso at some point is going to break, and CM Punk, nothing has broken with him. He's been the same guy since he came back to WWE, and I think the prevailing opinion right now as we go into Saturday night's main event is that CM Punk's the one who's going to turn heel, do something dastardly. Where do you stand on this?
It's interesting because I find Jey Uso the least interesting of the three protagonists for the title right now. Like, I find LA Knight a lot more interesting as a character.
I mean, here's the thing. If you are... LA Knight is kind of at that level just so he can be at that level.
Yeah.
But he's nowhere involved in this picture, and he's not
a little bit. But
he's
not one
of the protagonists. Because Roman's going to come back and be a part of this picture at some point.
Yes. And I don't find Jey Uso to be that compelling a character or that main event, to be honest with you. It's one of those things where it's like everything in this story needs to run through CM Punk to be interesting.
So if everything's going to run through CM Punk, do you change it up with CM Punk? Like, does he win the title and now he's the bad guy for eventually down the road, a babyface Seth Rollins to come back and get some heat on? Is Roman Reigns going to be the guy heading into like a Royal Rumble time frame? Because, a lot of the opinion based on nothing that's been a part of the story so far, right? Like, this is all right. If you're reading the Wrestling Observer, if you're reading Fightful, if you're reading all these different places, you might get the hint that, hey, CM Punk might be the one who does something here. Maybe it's because, and there's a story that can be told. Like, I'm not saying that it would come out of nowhere because he's been frustrated this year, right? He got screwed out of the main event of WrestleMania. He got screwed out of his title when he finally won it at SummerSlam. He's waited 2 years since coming back to win this title, and Seth kept taking it away. Well, now he's not waiting anymore, and he might do something to Jey Uso to make sure he cements it. Him going heel doesn't mean that suddenly he's realigned with Paul Heyman, because that would make no sense. Doesn't mean he's realigned with Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed, because that would make no sense. He can just be standalone on his heel side while Bron and them are going after either the Usos or LA Knight, and CM Punk has got Roman Reigns going on, or any of these, anyone else. Maybe AJ Styles, part of his last run, gets a title picture to kind of feed the way to Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. I'm just not sold on CM Punk. I really am curious what a lot of people actually think is going to happen, because it seems like the momentum is CM Punk goes heel. Someone goes heel, right?
I don't
like
think anybody goes heel. That's the weird thing. I think it's going to be one of those clever is the enemy of good type things where it's like, Jimmy, you're not sure if he purposely caused Jey to lose the title to CM Punk or caused CM Punk to lose the title to Jey, and they're all going to be on the same War Games team in a couple weeks.
But are they? Because I think the men's War Games is going to be the MFTs and the Wyatt Six. I don't think the men's War Games main events. I don't think you're getting like a Bloodline versus the Vision. That's gone out the window. I don't think they're in the main event for this.
But it feels like what the ending's going to be is going to be, who knows if somebody meant to do something that they didn't, and it's going to continue this story throughout. That's what it feels like to me.
Your main event very well could be Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre, because I do have a feeling. Now, Saturday night's main event, right? Not a lot of things usually happen on these shows. These are like still, so we have this NBC deal. We put, what feels like a big card on paper. But then does anything actually happen?
Well, this is on Peacock, and they're trying to drive it to Peacock. So,
yes. Yeah.
I think you could have
NBC. Same thing.
Yeah. But I think you could have, out of the four matches, you could have three new champions out of it.
You could have four.
You could. I mean, because this is the time of year where they put the belt on somebody for like 2 months before Rumble.
I just worry, because Dominic Mysterio. Let's run through this card, okay? Because this is the thing that's going ahead, that is the big event of the weekend, you would say, right?
So it's Dominic Mysterio versus Penta versus Rusev in a triple threat for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yes, and Rusev has started, like, he's going after the Americanos. He's got this thing with Penta. He's got this thing with Mysterio. I think the crowd is finally getting a little bit behind Rusev on Raw. when they were like, okay, he might battle these Americanos. And think of how a team with Penta and Rusev against the Americanos of Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. hey, listen, I think those matches would be good. Something.
It'd be fun.
Keep them out of this Intercontinental title picture. For that reason, I think Dominic Mysterio is retaining. But if you want to finally pull the trigger and like a Dominic Mysterio, Finn Balor, and get them away from the Intercontinental title, because maybe Dominic Mysterio is going to the John Cena thing. Maybe he's going to go against CM Punk and be in the world title picture at some point in the next 6 months.
I think he's going to be the AAA champion.
Sure, and he could.
For a while, yeah.
Yeah, and he could do that. Man, the videos of El Grande Americano in AAA just make him look like one of the biggest stars ever.
Yeah.
Right? And it's super awesome. Like, I think they're really doing something to where he's continuing to go up. And as much as Chad Gable was great in El Grande Americano, like, Ludwig Kaiser is taking it to a whole new level, and I'm interested in
it. I love the
entire
stable. I love all of them. So I'm happy with whoever comes out under that mask.
Yeah, it's that's super fun part of Raw these days. And then when Chad Gable does come back, is Gable going to reference the El Grande Americano stuff? Is there a program there? Or do they just leave him out of it completely? Who knows? But it's intriguing. But Dominic Mysterio, Penta, Rusev, I do think that Dominic Mysterio is going to win this one, because I think the John Cena match, if it happens, for the Intercontinental title is actually a pretty big deal. Maybe John Cena ends up winning the Intercontinental Championship and passes it on to whoever he fights in December, whether it's Gunther or someone else. But I got Dominic Mysterio winning this one, but Penta, Rusev, Dominic in a three-way. I would not be shocked if this ends up being the best match of Saturday night's main event.
Stratton versus Cargill for the women's championship.
Stratton versus Cargill for the women's championship, which on paper most likely will be the least best match. I'll say that, right? Not the worst, the least best match of this four match show, which high bar. I mean, there's a lot of matches here. A little bit of a lot of matches. Tiffany Stratton, Jade Cargill. Does Jade Cargill take the title away from Tiff Stratton?
Yes, because Tiffany Stratton should not be a babyface. I love her to death. She is tough as nails, that woman. But she is miscast as a babyface amongst all these people. She's fun. And I thought the match with Kiana James was good. I mean, Kiana James was on my ballot for most improved a couple years back before she got injured. And then she was brought in as, I just thought she was going to be a talking head for a while before she got cut. She has chops in the ring. She just had ring rust. But Jade Cargill, they got to get to this Bianca Jade Cargill story that they've been teasing for, what, year and a half now? It's time.
Sure. Yeah. No, I think Jade Cargill is walking out with the championship here, too. I don't think you need to do a weird finish where maybe she gets a rematch. Maybe she's out of the picture completely. Maybe Bianca Belair gets involved at all. Do you see Bianca Belair getting involved in this one?
No, I see her being the aftermath.
Okay. I do too. I think if there's going to be one title change, because technically, right, CM Punk, Jey Uso, not a title change. One of them's going to win.
Right.
Someone's walking out the championship. So you know there's at least one new champion being crowned on this show. But I think there's going to be at least two, because I see Jade Cargill winning this championship as well. Moving on, let Tiff Stratton go on to some other road.
Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre. Do you see Cody possibly losing it here?
I could, and then they immediately rematch, because if you don't have Roman Reigns or a War Games with the big main event players on Raw in the main event of Survivor Series, you're going to need a title match at the top of that show. Maybe that ends up being CM Punk, right? But it could also be a Drew McIntyre-Cody Rhodes rematch of some sort. I don't really necessarily see any craziness in here. Randy Orton turning on Cody, which I think we all kind of want to see a Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton match with some heat versus just, okay, it's Saudi Arabia. You guys are going to wrestle now. I think there's room for that, but I don't see Randy Orton after all the weeks of what he's been doing, just all of a sudden decide, you know what? I'm going after the title now. Screw you, Cody.
It's so weird that Drew McIntyre was at one time the hottest heel in the company, just doing the, I tell the truth and I get screwed gimmick, now it's kind of passed, and you're like, there's no real functionality to Drew McIntyre being the champion right now.
Right, and that is the downside. But if you keep it going with Cody Rhodes and eventually Cody just wins, and this is just a way to keep the story going for a little bit, I don't see Drew McIntyre going to WrestleMania and being the champion.
No.
But you talk about him being one of the top heels at one point with what he was doing, telling the truth about a lot of things, right? He was also at one time the biggest babyface.
True.
In the promotion. And then the COVID pandemic happened, and that had to slow everyone down, and it definitely slowed Drew down. But he's been the top babyface. He's been the top heel. It's a top-heavy roster right now in WWE. It's a very top-heavy roster, which is a good problem to have. But Drew McIntyre, kind of like an LA Knight, they keep him at the top so that he is a top guy, but it's just so he means something when he's in those matches. Do you actually see him being the guy to carry storylines for a long period of time? And right now, he certainly doesn't have that juice to me. So I see Cody Rhodes retaining and moving on from Drew. But at the same time, it's like 50-50 to me. Drew McIntyre could easily win, go to Survivor Series.
I could see Drew breaking off, getting the title, and then him doing an Orton feud to keep Cody and Randy for Mania. Because that feels like the Mania match to me.
Well, and there's also that possibility, right, of Survivor Series not having every big name on it.
Yeah.
Because if you have two Survivor Series matches and you have a CM Punk title match on there and you have a Dominic Mysterio Intercontinental title match, like you go in with six matches, maybe five or six matches. Five is what they've usually been doing. But Survivor Series, it's a big show, probably going to have at least six, I would think. You could easily keep a Cody Rhodes off of that show. You can keep one big name off that show, and maybe that ends up being Roman Reigns that's not on the show. I could go either way, a coin flip on this one with Cody Rhodes or Drew winning. And honestly, either way, I don't see anything of importance happening for them on Survivor Series.
I am on the Wikipedia page for Saturday Night's Main Event, and I am staring at this poster, and CM Punk looks about... around his eyes with all the crow's feet there.
He
looks like 80 years old, man.
This is 10 years ago. When he quit, he was looking like this. Like he doesn't look any older. I am surprised to see him keep growing the hair out. But it definitely looks better than when he would try to grow the hair out back in the early 2010s.
Yes.
And it would just always stick up in his matches in weird places. So he's doing better that way. But yeah, no, he looks like evilly confident in this poster, because I'm looking at the same exact poster right now. Evilly, eerily confident.
What did you think of the did you see the WrestleMania ad for 2026?
Yeah.
Everybody in that ad looks old. So? I thought Brock looked ancient. Cody's the youngest one there. It's one of those weird things for marketing purposes that you'd think they'd want to have a youth movement of some kind in their marketing, and they don't.
I mean, not if you're trying to fill two nights in a 60,000 seat stadium for the second year in a row. When, I mean, let's face it, with SmackDown especially, attendances are cooling off a little bit, right?
Yeah.
WrestlePalooza, when I went, didn't sell out legitimately tickets until the day of the show. So they're going to get that top dollar, and they're going to market the big names for this show. And maybe the youth movement comes for other shows. I mean, especially, gosh, if the MFTs and the Wyatt Six end up co-headlining Survivor Series, like that's a lot of new faces. I mean, some old, yes, but a lot of new faces in there. So, I thought the ads were fine. I mean, I'm in agreement with a lot of folks out there that were like, why would you do these cryptic teases for a WrestleMania ad when there's like, you could just show the WrestleMania ad. Like, why are we doing cryptic teases for all this? Unless it's just because we want people talking and we don't care if they end up being upset afterwards. We're just trying to get people talking a little bit. But the ad itself is fine. I mean, it's a card theme. They're going to Vegas. You got the four of them in the room there looking annoyed / confident / just like Brock. I mean, Brock Lesnar showed up to do TV ads in the year 2025. Good for them.
Who do you have in Punk Uso?
And then CM Punk and Jey Uso. We've already kind of gone back and forth on this. CM Punk, it would make sense if he tries to do anything he can to win this championship because he's tired of waiting, right? The crowd was behind him, tired of waiting. Jey Uso, I mean, Jey Uso still has the crowd going crazy. One of the most fun things if you're going into a Raw show or a pay-per-view is Jey Uso's entrance. And they kill that. And if he went heel, would it actually be killed? Would the crowd just go into business for themselves and do, you know, the Uso and the yeeting and all that stuff, whether Uso was a bad guy or not? So you're risking, if Jey Uso goes heel, him not actually being a heel until he talks, because like his worst part of his game has always been just talking on the mic and trying to get a story out from start to finish. I don't see Jey Uso going babyface, which tells me that CM Punk might go heel on here. I don't see it being neutral, Jeff. I don't see CM Punk being fan favorite, Jey Uso being fan favorite, and it's just a better man wins. Something's going to happen in this. I just don't know which way it's going to go. And will Roman Reigns get involved to set up something for Survivor Series? Roman Reigns, Jey Uso in the future makes a lot of sense to me. And if that's the case, Jey Uso is going to be the bad guy in that. Do you do the Usos again with Jimmy versus Jey? There's always splitting up Jimmy and Jey again for the second time in, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of meat on the bone still when you want an Usos tag team to be in a main event of something against two bad guys. Like, they can go either way.
It feels more like Roman Jey than Jimmy and Jey as a feud.
Sure. And at that point, Jey Uso's going heel at some point, right? And then you risk the entrance. You risk him not actually being, heel with the crowd.
Yeah.
CM Punk, but there's a lot of... And we haven't even sunk our teeth into the bone yet of bad guy CM Punk going up against Roman Reigns, going up against LA Knight, going up against Jey Uso, going up against maybe a returning Gunther who's a babyface, right? There's a lot of options there. And then at the end of the road, do we know Seth Rollins what the timeline is for when he's expected to be back?
It's a knee injury, or no, it's a shoulder injury. So
it's like... Probably. It's like WrestleMania is doubtful, but it's in play, right?
Yes. If the rehab goes spectacular, Mania is in play.
Yeah. So if Mania is in play, Rollins CM Punk is the way to go.
Yeah.
For one of these nights.
With the roles reversed.
And with the roles reversed, because it's not the same thing. Because what, Seth Rollins is going to come back and be the bad guy again?
They did that once, and it was the dumbest thing they ever did.
Yeah, but
possibly. You remember that? He came back.
Yeah,
with
no,
knee,
I do.
And then they made him a heel the same night, I think.
I don't know if he's that level of babyface to where he can get people to show up and pay $3,000 a night to sit in the lower bowl.
No.
Right? But CM Punk can certainly try his best. I mean, if there's
he's sing along babyface level. So
and Roman Reigns, I have to feel, is going to have a big match for WrestleMania. Maybe Brock Lesnar's in that title picture at some point, which if Brock Lesnar's in, Brock Lesnar's the heel, he's the bad guy. So there's a lot of variables, and whatever is the plan now probably won't be 4 months from now. So I'm not trying to spend a lot of my time on, here's what I think they're going to do, but it's a 50-50 toss up on what they might actually do.
One piece of news from the main roster, and I'm just mentioning it because I have questions for you on this. Chelsea Green re-signing with the company appears to be a 5-year deal. Follow-up questions. Does Matt Cardona ever get brought back to the main roster? As Zack Ryder?
To do what?
I don't... Yeah, exactly. I don't know, but it feels like... It feels like they know that it's his goal, and they're gonna keep on throwing a carrot at him, and they're never gonna pay it off.
We just talked about how the roster is top heavy, right? What is Matt Cardona gonna do that Santos Escobar hasn't been able to do, or has been able to do? Like, what is he gonna do that you just had to put Ludwig Kaiser with Pete Dunne with Tyler Bate and smash them all on the same program, which is great, by the way. So I'm not complaining that they're doing that. But you had to put those three together because there's really no room to just have Matt Cardona come in and be a guy who eventually gets a world title match, to be a guy that eventually gets one match with Dominic Mysterio because he's not going to go on an intercontinental title reign. Like, what is Matt Cardona going to do? He's losing matches on NXT.
Also, if she becomes available, does this increase or decrease the chances that WWE ever signs Britt Baker?
I don't think this has anything to do with Britt Baker's chances.
It's a Canyon Seaman joke for the most part, because he couldn't tell the two apart.
Those two can easily be told apart. One's on TV, one isn't.
Correct. I watched NXT Halloween Havoc on Saturday.
And good for you. Let's talk about AEW. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a moment. But from this week's NXT, I hate that they brought the Speed title onto this show, along with, well, now they have the TNA titles. They have these cursory internet WWE Speed titles, and they're putting a lumbering jacked dude on NXT Speed to crush the small, quick guys.
Sure.
Which seems to work against the whole point of having a Speed title.
Well, I mean, the Speed title before, like, are they still doing the gimmick where the match has to be 3 minutes?
3 minutes.
Okay. Well, guess what? Big dudes win matches quickly.
Okay.
A big dude should have won this from the start.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Well, because who, you think Ricochet is winning matches in 3 minutes? Like, I know they did because they had to, but these guys aren't winning matches jumping around.
It's called speed, though. You want to see speed. You don't want to see Jasper Troy choke slam 1, 2, 3.
Who says I don't?
I know you probably do, but I'm just like, this is for the Axioms and the Nathan Frasers of the world to go on there and look good and whatnot.
See, the problem, what you're doing and what many others are probably doing is associating speed with the wrestlers in the ring. No, 3 minute time limit. Speed, beat the clock. Who's going to beat the clock? You know who always was good at beat the clock? Big Show.
Kevin Nash.
Big.
Yeah.
Kevin Nash. Yeah. Powerbomb 1, 2, 3. Not paid
for by the hour. Yeah.
Don't even have to cover the guy. You get the 1, 2, 3 with Kevin Nash. Right?
Yeah.
It would make, if you want to go logical, I mean, God, Bron Breakker should be the speed champion. He's got the best of both worlds.
I agree. I like him, but I hate that title, so I don't want it anywhere near.
No, it's a stupid title, and I don't know what this NXT fixation is on beating AEW to how many championships and lower card guys you can get on the same show.
Ethan Page is still the best thing on that show for me, and Ricky Saints is okay.
Okay, well then I'm glad I'm not watching NXT.
Oh, you're not a fan of Ethan Page?
If the best things on the show, and I watched, okay. I like Ricky Saints. I think there are times where he gets the importance of whatever program he's in over, right?
Yeah. But
there's a reason why Edge and Daniel Bryan ate him up.
Yes.
In a promo on AEW, because he was the weak link and he just wanted to get in by the way. Like, why do you keep saying, but anyway, or by the way, like, but either way. Right. It was, but either way, like, I got to get to my next point. So I'm just going to keep saying, but either way, get to your point. The problem I have a lot of times with Ricky Saints is he doesn't just get to the point. And I'm not just saying like, oh, that promo should have been half of what it was. I'm like, say the next sentence, man, say the next sentence. But he's had some good moments lately. I have been watching Ricky Saints. But Ricky Saints and ego being the top things on the show. First of all, I don't actually think that's true. I don't think that's true.
Trick
the top
Williams
thing on the show
had a
right
good
now,
week. Trick Williams was
Trick
good.
Williams, who's Trick Williams, I think is going to be a superstar one day, right? Kind of, he's growing up right now, but he's going to be a big deal one day.
Femi's not on here, so it's
the top thing on the show, though, I think, is the interest in, you know, who's going to show up every week, and the TNA guys and the NXT folks, and there's 15,000 wrestlers on the show and even more title belts somehow. It's just a different show, and there's a lot going on, and Joe Hendry is going to be a guy that's more prominent probably on this show coming up, so good luck to us all.
Yeah, once they sign him, they'll stop pushing him. Kind of like Jordan Grace.
Jeff, I realized while I said the names Daniel Bryan and Edge, how WWE Homer that makes me sound. I get it. He hasn't been Daniel Bryan in 3 years. He hasn't been Edge in 2 years. I get it. I'm just living with that reality that it's easier to call them those names than the new ones.
No, but you could tell he thought his commentary was very important because he was up in his higher register all night last night.
Higher registers are okay sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing it right now.
Yes.
You excellent. I mean, the acting chops. You have history because you can do the voices. I can't always do the voices. I know Daniel Bryan isn't getting like the bumps and the hurt on his body like he was before, but I did think part of his retirement was all about spending more time at home and not being on the road, but he's on the road every week.
I'll take him over Taz, but he needs a third man in the booth to play off of.
Oh yeah. No, Daniel Bryan can't be the number one guy. As far as color commentary goes.
Did you get a chance to see Dynamite last night?
I watched much of Dynamite. I would like random $400,000, $500,000 matches to kind of stop. And thankfully they did on Dynamite, right? The gimmick seems to be concluding, hopefully, on the whole money woes for the Young Bucks. And they move into, okay, do they want someone to have their back? But if you're the Young Bucks, are you going to go in the Don Callis family now? I mean, there's turmoil everywhere. Where are you going to fit in? There's so many guys and they're all fighting each other. How about you stay away from that? It did look like their focus was going back on becoming like, okay, we're in this four-way match for the tag team title shot. We're going to go back to focusing on the matches and not the money and not the entrances and all this stuff. I can see a babyface turn for the Young Bucks coming in the future.
It's happening.
Yeah, against... Yeah, because FTR, maybe they end up winning the tag team titles, right? And who's going to be their big foe and big heroes to battle them?
The Young Bucks.
Well, possibly. Possibly, Cope and Christian. If Cope comes back, wherever he might have gone, randomly, he just had a family thing to attend to. Right? I can see the Young Bucks coming and playing that role at some point very, very soon because I liked the progression of them focusing less. Like, they thought the entrance was cool, but didn't really, at the end of the day, didn't care that entrance was given to them. Focus on the championships. Because guess what? This is old school wrestling. You should love this, right? You win more money when you win matches.
Yeah, but here's what was driving me nuts the entire time was the week before. I almost call him Luke Perry. Jack Perry has one of the promos of his life. Talking about him and we're going after the tag team titles. Great. Go out and lose the next week.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of that happens sometimes. And I think it's okay if you do that every once in a while. But this was like a big return to the tag team of Jack Perry and Luchasaurus. If you're putting them together, in theory, you should have like a plan for what they do together. But I don't think there is one for those two. I just think they put them together because by themselves, they were floundering, each of them. And if Luchasaurus doesn't have Christian Cage anymore to play off of, like, where is the end of that? It's just another storyline in AEW where there was no ending. They just broke off because there was no reason to put them together anymore.
Well, if they have nothing, then Jet Speed has less. And I still don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why were they even in this match? Because they haven't beaten anybody for the most part. I think they've won one match since becoming a team.
Yeah, and it probably happened on AEW Dark Saturday Night.
Yes. How'd you feel about Hook being in a number one contenders match?
And then getting destroyed by Samoa Joe because now Samoa Joe, like, they're not just, okay, we're going our separate way, but Samoa Joe hates Hook now, even though he was like the mentor to Hook earlier.
And, I guess.
And the only reason they're against each other now is because Hook got hurt, even though Samoa Joe, before coming back from the ops, was coming off of an injury. So not a lot of self-awareness going on there.
See, I don't like four ways. I'm tired. I want a number one contenders match between two people, and I wanted it to be Lashley and Joe. Weak. And I could watched that all day. It was just like, and Ricochet was very good in the match. It's just, they're just not, I mean, we're just going to go back to, what is it, the Demand versus the Hurt Syndicate for the 800th time in a row. And you're like, haven't we seen this three other times already?
There's not a lot of, but I watch AEW Dynamite. Wednesdays come along. I have not been watching whether Collision's on a Thursday or a Friday or a Saturday. I have not been watching and keeping up with Collision. Thankfully sometimes they will show video packages because I'm one of those now who needs to see them. Like, what actually happened? Does anything happen of importance?
I am too.
But I'm going to guess that there's not really a whole lot going on. I saw the card going in to last collision, and the main event was the only interesting match on the show, and it was one of those $400,000 matches because the Young Bucks are in it. So we have to put a gimmick that there's money on the line and a lot of it because the Young Bucks are in it. Whereas, like, what about every other main event of Collision? What are they fighting for? 15 grand? Nothing? Just the chance to be on the next Dynamite, maybe?
It's one of these things where I'm just like, it's just to do a joke, though, afterwards. There's no real emotional heft to the money. No. Oh, Matt has Matt or Nick that has the gambling addiction, and he's going to lose it on slots.
Nick. Yeah, Nick has the gambling addiction, but it's being for the
elite. It's for being the elite, which nobody cares about for the most part, other than 30 people on a message board who find it funny. I don't understand booking for the internet, but that's me.
I think there's a little comedic value in it, but I mean, they've kind of run it into the ground over the last 6 months after another storyline that wasn't really finished because we never got with Kenny Omega's injuries. We never really got Young Bucks versus Kenny Omega, outside of just a couple of Dynamite matches and some segments. We just really never got much to that. But talking about Samoa Joe. Okay, so Samoa Joe is your number one contender for the AEW yes. World title. I think there's going to be a lot of heat to that match, but I still don't see Adam Page losing. So you're just doing it again to do it again because you're waiting for MJF to return, in theory, I would assume, right?
I think he's returning at that card, too, because it's in New Jersey.
Yeah, no, he very well could, and they can do the devil mask thing when he walks out, or they can have him play a part in the actual finish to it. But then what is Samoa Joe supposed to do? Like, oh, MJF came in and then interfered. I guess I'll just go on my way. But the ops,
mm-hmm.
You know what ops stands for, right? What's short for?
Opposition or opponents. One of the two.
Operations.
No, that's OPS.
Exactly.
This is OPPS.
Yeah. So why? They're the opponents?
Yes.
That's what you're telling me? They're the opponents?
I think so.
The Ops is a professional wrestling stable in All Elite Wrestling. I want to know what, because when they came out, they were just the Ops.
Right.
He's like, we are the Ops.
Mm-hmm.
Like Special Ops.
No.
Except they.
It's spelled different.
No, I know it is, which is part of the lunacy, Jeff. It's part of the lunacy. They're the operations and they misspelled ops. That's what I'm going with.
The thing, like, I was admittedly, I had two screens working, as did my co-host last night on the Dynamite show, because he's a Canadian, so he's interested in the Blue Jays, and I'm in L.A., so I'm interested in the Dodgers.
You guys.
God, I survived the 18-inning schmoz, dude.
Well, so yeah, you can survive that when it ends before midnight your time. Some of us on the East Coast over here.
I work East Coast hours, Rob. I go to bed at 9:30, and it was on till 1, so don't give me that crap. That said, watching last night, the thing that made me angriest of all things is the fact that we've actually again retconned Jon Moxley from the redemption angle that we had to now he's a full-on coward again. And then that whatever the heck that thing was he was doing with Megan Bain when Marina Shafir took over for Penelope Ford and the team, and he just comes in and goes, hey, this looks good. You're like, why is he being goofy right now? Everything about the Death Riders and what they stand for is gone.
Too many forks in the head, man.
We have Daniel Garcia.
Daniel Garcia looking like looking like he's under Wheeler Yuta. On the old totem pole, or yes. Over on the totem pole, because totem poles, as we all know, go downward. But
yes,
Jon Moxley making sense. This poor guy, and now he's the poor guy that everyone wants to keep putting him in death matches, right? He has to do blood and guts now, and oh, Orange Cassidy is over here not wanting to do it. Jon Moxley is over here scared to death. The only one who seems to want to do it is freaking Darby Allin. Why don't you just lock Darby Allin in a cage and get him off my TV?
There is one other person who wants to do a blood and guts match, but I don't know if they've pivoted or not.
Who?
And that was Jamie Hayter. When she threw out that challenge, have they, No, this is a serious question that was brought up last night. Have they pivoted away from the women's blood and guts? Because you haven't heard about it in 2 weeks. And it's just going to be the men.
Blood and guts. Well, yeah, I don't. I mean, because right now Wikipedia thinks they're going to have one.
Okay.
Wikipedia.
I'm not asking Wikipedia. I'm asking you.
Do you think Wikipedia still has for several weeks? Both Jamie Hayter and Queen Aminata had been fighting members of the Triangle of Madness. Sounds ominous.
Mm-hmm.
But the last thing that they did, the match was made official on September 30th. We're a long way from September 30th, bro. We are a full month after that, and there's been nothing going on for this.
Exactly.
That's supposed to take place in what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, and two weeks ago, they were saying that nobody has, or that Tekla nodded, but she hasn't officially accepted, or whatever BS logic that they're looking at doing. I think there's a good chance they've dumped the women's blood and guts.
Very well could be, because I don't see them being able to do two in a two-hour show.
Right.
Like, I don't know if this is one of those three-hour shows that they're doing. I don't think it is, because we're kind of past the week of opening week for hockey and opening week for basketball, so we're kind of back on the regular timelines now. I don't see them doing two of those. And this one makes all the sense in the world that it was kind of thrown together in the last week, because you got Kyle O'Reilly and Mark Briscoe in it. You're going to have to, I guess Pac is going to be in this match.
It's going to be the Death Riders and the Conglomeration.
No, I know, but I'm saying Pac is specifically going to be in this one, because I don't.
Yes.
Unless it's a 4-on-4.
No, it's going to be five. It's going to be Moxley, Pac, Yuta, Garcia, and
Claudio.
Against Orange, Roddy, Kyle, Briscoe, and Ishii.
Darby.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. The only one who wants to do this match, and you wanted to take him out of it. No, this. Can this be the last one, though, please? Like, can this be the end of the old, of what is happening with John Moxley's group? Because they've just been these brooding guys now for what feels like 2 years on.
Yes.
And they're just the brooding guys who can't hold a title. And John Moxley's so far removed from the world title picture right now. And they don't want to put him with the TNT title. They don't want to put him with Okada. The most interesting thing on the show is, when is Okada and Takeshita? When are they going to battle? When is that big match going to happen? Is Okada going to go for the IWGP title, or is it strictly going to be a program for the international title? There's a lot of interest in that for me on my
Continental Classic.
But yeah, but then it has to be bogged down with these Continental Classic tournaments, and it's got to be fighting for Don Callis's love. That was hilarious on Dynamite, and hilarious in the wrong way. Is that Takeshita badass? He's got all this momentum going up in the world. You think Okada is Okada finally fearing somebody, because he hasn't feared anyone since coming into AEW? And then Takeshita just backs down. Yeah, Don Callis, I'll shake his hand. No problem, boss. And then Okada, because Okada is Okada, has to get the upper hand, flips him off, and then Takeshita just looks sad. Like, oh, this guy didn't want to shake my hand. That's
he has a southern accent. Is he from southern Japan?
He's from Takeshita's like a Georgian name.
Georgian name.
I feel like he's from the Florida Georgia line. Well, like, he's just sad, man. He's just sad. He thought they were going to be friends again, because daddy told him to make up. And I just want to go farm the land, man.
As much as I like Takeshita as IWGP champion, it's not even the most interesting political storyline. And that is, does Nakamura get to be Tanahashi's last opponent at Wrestle Kingdom?
I don't think so, but that would be cool. And I probably would watch that. I mean, Tanahashi looks worse in the ring than John Cena and Matt Hardy combined, which is hard to do. I mean, just a trio of guys with really bad backs at this point, going towards the finish line. And I cannot believe that Matt Hardy is going to outlast all of them, but he is still working it.
And
still
diving
matches.
Through tables. Cause he did
still
that on
diving
Sunday.
Through ladder matches. Yeah. Yeah, so craziness with Matt Hardy, but good for him. But yeah, no, I mean, Nakamura would be super cool. I guess I don't know. What are you thinking? Is Tanahashi going to win his last match? Is he going to lose? If he loses it, shouldn't it be to someone who's in New Japan and potentially a title challenger to Takeshita? But
I think Tony Khan's in a no-win situation here. because everything says, oh, well, Tanahashi's a legend, so AEW should not play hardball and let Nakamura come in and do the title match for this one thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. If we're talking politics on this show right now, then yeah, Tony, get a grip. Let Nakamura do whatever he wants. And honestly, if you're this sickos guy who wants to see all these dream matches and doesn't care if actually no one else wants to see him or not, Nakamura Tanahashi one last time. Come on.
You have to have an ask, though, for WWE to let it happen, though. You have to. You can't just let them do it, can you?
Let New Japan book Shinsuke Nakamura?
Correct.
And WWE is letting them use Shinsuke Nakamura?
Yeah.
What kind of balls do you have to even ask for anything?
Well, AEW guy is your champion. That's what they're doing for you right
now. Isn't that the ask? Isn't that the ask already? Is that, hey, okay, I got the IWGP championship on my TV. Doesn't mean a thing.
You're right. No one
cares. And especially, what are you going to do with it? Have Okada and Takeshita not even for that belt? Like, you're trying to put the international championship as the top line? Well, let Nakamura do his thing. You're going to get, Tony Khan, you're going to get a lot of these problems stopping with, I mean, not a lot of them, some of them maybe. There might be some shows where you don't get counter-programmed if you just stop trying to gatekeep one little thing from happening every single month. Like, let Nakamura work the show. It's not helping WWE any to let Nakamura go on the show. So why are you trying to stop it? Unless you think Okada should be the match and he should win. I mean, Okada Tanahashi is like one of the biggest deals in the last 15 years in New Japan. So that would be kind of cool to see one more time. And if Okada won it, like, how badass would that be for you, for AEW? But holding out for that and saying, no, Nakamura can't come in, you can't do business with WWE, you're going to find out real fast that they won't do business with you no more.
Huh. Okay. I could see that. I mean, WWE already has the working arrangement with Noah, so they don't need New Japan necessarily.
Well, WWE doesn't need anyone in Japan. True. They don't need anyone. They're doing these working arrangements so they have somewhere to send Ludwig Kaiser, somewhere they can send Amos, and they can do these cool things and still get them active and get them work and try new things. And that's what Triple H wants to do, because it worked for him going to different places, and it worked for a bunch of his peers going to different places and trying different systems. It's working out in Mexico so far. We'll see what happens in Japan. They don't need any of these places. WWE just ran house shows in Japan, did big business. They could run a pay-per-view in Japan if they wanted to and would do big business. They don't need any of these companies. They're throwing them a bone.
Fair enough. I got nothing else on my plate. Do you want to talk about anything else in wrestling right now, or baseball, or in general?
Those are the big shows coming up. We got Saturday night's main event. We got this AEW Dynamite trying to play off as a big show. Greensboro Coliseum. and then, of course, you have Survivor Series. I don't believe at this point, outside of knowing that there's going to be a War Games match, I don't think there is anything on the plate for Survivor Series. So we're going to start seeing that fast and furious, because they have to. I mean, that show is in a month from now with a pay-per-view in between, and you're going to have four Raws and three SmackDowns. It's usually the SmackDown before the pay-per-view that happens right before. Nothing really happens on that show to set up anything. Everything's kind of already got to be set up.
I think you're going to have a four-way women's tag on that show, because that's what they're setting up for.
You might have a lot of different things. We talked about that too, right? So Bayley and Lyra lose to Charlotte and Alexa. What's next for Charlotte and Alexa? Is there going to be some serious contendership? Is there going to be a really big story? Or are they just roaming the brands, beating up people? There's a lot of,
it's pretty much that.
Yeah, it is right now. Will that continue to be the way? It's a whole new way of looking at these big shows, because outside of the 2-night SummerSlams, outside of the 2-night WrestleManias, outside even Royal Rumble is still only what a 5-match show. Survivor Series, you're gonna be fighting to get 5 matches. In one of those 5 matches, 2 of them are gonna be multi-person, where there's 10 people in that match. So you're gonna get more wrestlers on the show. But there's still not a lot of real estate to get on there. You're going to see an LA Knight not on that show. You're going to see whatever happens with Jey Uso and CM Punk. One of them probably not in this show. Now, I could be very wrong. You might get the main eventers in the War Games match because on the poster is Roman Reigns, is John Cena. We know John Cena is going to be on that show. I don't think he's going to be in the War Games match. So who does he go up against? Is it the Dominic Mysterio match for that night? You have Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio is on the poster for this show. Cody Rhodes, Jey Uso. I guess you can't really go off this poster because now that I'm looking at it, Naomi is on this poster. So obviously this is a little bit older. Penta is on the poster. Penta's on the poster. And
is Logan Paul on the poster that you're looking at?
Logan Paul is not. Is not on the poster. But Jacob Fatu is, and we know he won't be on the show. So who what's going to be the main event? Are the MFTs Wyatt Six thing, is that going to be happening? And is that going to be a War Games match or just like a three? Maybe it's a six-man tag, right? Because I can totally see him going in that direction. But right now, with Seth Rollins out, I don't really see how are you going to force CM Punk, maybe even Drew McIntyre, maybe even Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. What is the point of them all being in a War Games match, right?
Yeah.
Like what could War Games possibly be for that they want to be in a War Games match?
Whoever gets the fall gets the title.
Okay. Well, then CM Punk, you better hope to be the last man. You better be that captain.
Yeah.
If you are the champion. There might be some ways they could do it if Jey Uso was to win and he was the world heavyweight champion somehow. And then you do the big schmoz or big turn with CM Punk at War Games,
yeah,
where he just goes ham on all the Bloodline members. Maybe I could see something like that happening. But yeah, what are you going to do? Who's going to be in these five matches? There's not a lot of real estate. You got AJ Styles and Dragon Lee as the new tag team champions. Do they defend the belts on any of these special
all
shows?
Right.
Or the
one last question. Because you just brought it up. Okay. Is it possible that they just hold up this title until Royal Rumble and make the Rumble for the title again? Yeah.
I hadn't thought of it. I don't think so. It's not like you have to get through house shows anymore. You'd have to get through the Christmas tour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's kind of a big tour. But at the same time, I guess you could just put Cody Rhodes or whoever's the SmackDown champion atop those shows. Cause I don't know. I haven't looked at the schedule. I don't know if they're doing two per day and they have split crews for that. I would assume they are, but yeah, I don't think so. I think someone's got to be the champion. Why strip it from Seth Rollins if the idea was just to keep it flat as a storyline device? I would say no.
Okay. And your question for me?
My question was, do the Raw tag team titles, the men's tag team titles, get defended on a PLE between now and WrestleMania at all?
Yeah, on one of the B pay-per-views.
Okay. I mean, we'll see.
Like that that February one that has okay. Elimination Chamber or whatever. Yeah. I think that
There's a December. I don't even count December Saturday Night's main event as a PLE, right? Because I still see that as a TV show and I can see it happening there. But some of these titles are definitely turning into the TV titles. Like these are the titles that we make prop up to be TV championships. And then the big shows are going to have the world titles and they're going to have the women's intercontinental and they're going to have the men's intercontinental. So some of these are becoming TV titles.
The SmackDown tag team titles are definitely TV titles.
The SmackDown tag team titles. Yeah, but that's what's happening as we head into my birthday month of November in WWE, AEW, and NXT.
Happy Halloween. You can follow me at CrapGame13 on X. I also do a show on Fight Game Media called The Dynamite Show every Wednesday, about 20 minutes after it goes off the air. Paul Fontaine and I live on YouTube. It drops into your podcatchers for free. Rob, do you have any social media you want to plug or do you want to stay private?
You can find me at Rob from Indiana on some social media channels. Which ones? Who knows?
We'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill three contestants with five rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.